The hymn 151, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Seek the Lord tonight in prayer. We have some of our Ukrainian visitors here tonight. The others are in Kilkeel, so we're very glad to have Sasha. He'll be coming to give his testimony in a moment or two after we pray. And I think there's three girls somewhere else. I haven't discovered where they're sitting. Anastasia, Tanya, oh, they're coming in now. Anastasia and Tanya. Anastasia is somewhere. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, in the worthy and the precious name of thy dear Son, we come into the house of God tonight to worship our God, to rejoice in the mercies of the Lord that are new every day, to thank you for this Sabbath in which we meet, for the presence of God that has been with us so far, meetings held, the word of the Lord preached, men and women and young people under the sweet influence of the gospel. And we pray that thou will draw graciously near tonight and be one of our number. We want every time we meet together to know the Lord's presence. We know that God is everywhere in the immensity of his being, but he is especially near, and we are assured about this when the saints of God congregate together for the worship of God, for the hearing of the word, for the declaration of the gospel. Lord Jesus, come and stand in the midst of this gathering. Blessed Holy Spirit, come down from heaven, thy dwelling place, and abide in this gathering tonight. Lord, you already live within our beings, within our hearts. We pray that you will move with great power, that you will speak. The hymn writer refers to the Lord speaking with a voice that wakes the dead, and that's what we need. When we know that sinners are dead in trespasses and in sins, and they will never be awakened unless the Spirit of God speaks and brings about that experience of regeneration, the new birth. And so we seek thee tonight for a divine work, for God to move, for the Lord to speak. Thank thee for all who have come, and you know our circumstances, you know our backgrounds, you know everything about us. You know those that are saved and in Christ, and we pray your blessing upon them. Some are struggling in these days with various problems and trials that they have met with. Give them grace to help in their time of need. Abide with them. Give them of thy good presence, for the Lord has promised to go with us in every situation of life, and especially in days of trouble. Remember the backslider tonight. We pray for those that have wandered. Lord, they've turned into bypath meadows. Some of them, Lord, have gone into the world again, and we pray that the Lord will retrieve them, that he will speak to them, awaken them, and show them Christ. We know that a sight of the crucified Savior is the very thing that is needed, that will draw the backslider back to the place where they ought to be. And Lord, remember the unconverted. And we bless thee that there are those who come and they sit in our meetings and they listen to your word. And Father, we pray that the entrance of God's word will give them light and understanding and show them their need of a Savior. May they flee the wrath of God to come. And may they find a refuge in Christ, the only Redeemer of man, the only one that can save the soul from sin and from hell's destruction. Open their eyes, open their hearts, bring them to the place of understanding, to comprehend the mighty love of God in Christ, that love that brought Christ from above, that put him upon the cross to bleed and die and suffer in our guilty room instead. Oh, we pray that hearts will be open to gospel truth. And the Lord will speak tonight. Remember Sasha as he comes to testify, and Anna as she gives the translation. We pray for them tonight that in all that is said, God will be glorified. Much will be made of our dear Savior. Christ will be exalted in the midst of this gathering. Remember the preaching of your word. Give me power and strength to bring the message. And then the meeting later in Randallstown. Oh, that the Lord would rend the heavens and come down. Pray for Rebecca as she sings. We pray, dear gracious God, for Sasha again as he speaks a little bit about the work in Ukraine. Lord, as we bring the message to the young people, may their hearts be stirred. Pray for revival. Let it begin in me. Let it begin in our hearts tonight. Let it sweep across this province of ours. Lord, you did it in 1859. You're able to do it again. We believe in the God of revival. Send it upon us, we do pray. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We have been delighted to receive our Ukrainian friends over the past number of days. Most of them are away tonight in Kilkeel, but Sasha has been with me. We brought him to Enniskillen this morning. We travelled on some of the worst roads that I've ever been on. We thought we'd put into the sat-nav in Enniskillen. I know how to get there, but we thought, I wonder what the sat-nav would say. And just for the matter of getting the time right. And so when we got to Cookstown, it brought us a right turn. And then there was twisty roads up and down, little narrow roads, only room for one car. But we made it safely. We had a good time there. So Sasha Boshko is here tonight. It's up on the screen. Everybody's able to see it. Brother, we welcome you in the Savior's name, and we welcome your daughter who has lingered on as well. I'm not sure where she is, but we also welcome our sisters in Christ, Tanya and Anastasia. You're very welcome to our Sunday night meeting here in Ballymoney in the Hebron Church. We're going to ask our brother Sasha to come and give his testimony, And thank you, Anna, for your willingness to do the translation, which is so important for us. You can come up here to the pulpit. The Lord bless you.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Sasha. I'm half wife Olya. I have 5 children: Anastasia, Denise, David, Victoria, and Ruslan. Я вырос в украинской стране, Харьков. В Харькове есть область возле России, Волчанский район, Старый Салтов.
I grew up in Ukraine, close to the Russian border, in the area called Volchansk, in the small village called Starый Салтов.
Я узнал о Боге с самого детства от бабушки, как Тимофей услышал, в Библии написано, Тимофей принял от бабушки, аналогично я узнал от бабушки о Боге.
Like Timothy, I learned about the Bible from my grandmother, and I was a child when I was introduced to church.
И то, что посеяла бабушка в детстве, вот оно здесь.
So what my granny has sowed, then you can see now.
Бабушки очень много делают в жизни внуков.
Grannies are very important in the life of children.
И знаете, моя жизнь была очень-очень насыщенной, очень тревожной.
And my life was very full, and my life has been very rich.
Когда я узнал о Боге, у меня была старшая сестра и младший брат.
When I learned about God, I had a brother and I had a sister.
И мы начали ходить в церковь, и случилось так, что сестра поехала в детский лагерь школьный и утонула.
And then we went to a children's camp, and my sister was there, and she went to swim and she drowned.
Я задал тогда вопрос Богу.
And I asked God at the time.
А зачем ты это делаешь?
Why are you doing this?
А до этого, до моего рождения, за 2 месяца мой отец разбился на мотоцикле.
And then 2 months before I was born, my father got killed in a motorcycle accident.
Нас воспитывала одна мама.
So our mom brought us up.
И когда я в церковь начал ходить, отца нету. Сестра утонула.
So when I started going to church, started coming to church, I was asking myself questions. I lost my father before I was born, and I lost my sister.
Я в детстве залазил под кровать и часами плакал.
And I used to crawl under my bed as a child and cry for hours.
И всегда задавал вопрос: зачем ты это делаешь?
And I was always asking, why are you doing this to me?
Но потом Бог ответил.
And then God replied,
сестра с Богом.
He said, your sister is with the Lord.
Ей было 12 лет.
She was 12 when she died.
А ты где будешь?
And where are you going to be?
И тогда я начал задумываться, все-таки ты есть Бог, ты, который сотворил весь мир, сотворил меня, ты сотворил для чего-то человека.
And then I started asking myself questions. So you are the Almighty God and you created me. For something, for some purpose.
И я начал ходить в церковь с бабушкой каждый день, когда были служения, до 14 лет.
And I started coming to church with my granny, and I went every week until I was 14.
И в 14 лет я говорю, я хочу принадлежать Богу, я хочу принять крещение.
And when I was 14, I said, I want to trust the Lord and I want to be baptized.
Мне говорят, нельзя.
And I was told, no, you can't do that, you're too young.
Я говорю, как, я маленьким, я хочу, в Библии написано, что не препятствуйте. Я хочу заключить, мне говорят, в 16 лет ты можешь только принять крещение.
And I said, look, I'm a believer, I want to be baptized, but they said, no, you can't, you have to be at least 16.
Мне было очень обидно, но я понимал, что есть возможность, будет 16 лет, и я заключил договор с Богом.
I was actually very hurt to hear that, but I decided to wait until I was 16.
И наступает этот момент, 16 лет, и я с радостью, у нас был детский лагерь, и еще раз говорили о Боге, рассказывали, и я утвердился, то, что хочу принять завет с Богом, хочу быть с Ним.
And then when I was 16, I went to another camp, and I understood that I was a true believer, and I wanted to be baptized.
Я понял, что у меня отца не было, но у меня был всегда тот отец, который любит всегда меня, тот который отец, который меня создал.
I knew that I grew up without a father, but I knew also that I had my eternal father, God, who was caring for me.
И это было второе мое рождение было осенью перед моим, 11 сентября я родился. Родился в полном смысле слова.
Uh-huh. So I was born on the 11th of September.
А перед днем рождения, в августе, mm-hmm. я принял завет с Богом.
And then in August I became a Christian and I was born again.
И через полгода я узнаю о Северной Ирландии от Дональда. К нам он приехал, Дональд, первый раз в гости.
And then 6 months later I met Donald who came to visit us in Ukraine.
Это была очень такая приятная встреча, потому что человек незнакомый с другой страны, и он так светился Богом, так он светился радостно, приезжал, всех обнимал. То есть я видел, что этот человек служит Богу.
And it was a wonderful meeting because I could see the work of God in Donald. He was so genuine, he was so friendly and so caring.
И я когда уже заключил с Богом завет, у нас в церкви было каждый день служение.
In our church we had services every day.
Понедельник мы ездили в больницы, онкологически больные люди, и мы им благовествовали.
On Monday we went to a hospital where they treated cancer patients and we testified to them.
Во вторник братские советы.
On Tuesday we had elders meeting.
Среда у нас каждый вечер разбор писания.
Wednesday we had Bible study.
В четверг у нас был хор, я был басом.
Thursday we had a choir practice and I sang in it.
Пятница молитвенное служение.
Friday we had a service in church.
Суббота молодежное служение.
Saturday we had children's service.
В воскресенье два служения утром и вечером.
And on Sunday we also had two services, morning and night.
И так жизнь длилась, и ты когда жил в этом всем, то что Бог тебе говорит, ты делал, то ты наполнялся Богом и радовался.
So our life was filled with church, our life was filled with love for God.
Со временем я рос.
So as I grew up.
Духовно.
Spiritually.
Начал заниматься молодежным служением.
And I got involved in the youth work.
Был молодежным лидером.
I was a youth leader.
Потом Бог мне сказал, что нехорошо быть человеку одному.
And then God said to me, it's not good to be on your own.
И подарил мне жену.
And he gave me a wife, Olya.
И со временем молодежное служение передал другому брату.
So with time I gave my youth ministry to another brother.
Начал, я был в братском совете и проповедовал.
I was one of the elders and I was preaching as well.
Потом Бог доверил мне служение, я занимался почему-то, что на работе, что в церкви, я занимался финансовыми отделами. Был, как правильно, церковная касса, распоряжался, все было.
And then I became a person responsible for the finances of the church. I also dealt with finances in my day job.
До сего времени я работал. У меня такая была специфика работы. Я когда женился, я сразу пошел работать стационарно официально. Если у них официально.
So when I got married, I went and I got a proper full-time job.
Чуть-чуть вернусь назад. Вообще я начал работать с 14 лет.
Actually, going back, I started work when I was 14, but I worked part-time.
Потому что мама жила сама, а потом у нас был отчим, а он в тюрьме часто. Это не надо, да. Mm-hmm.
So I just had to help my mother to support her.
И до того времени, пока я жил в семье, я работал на семью.
So I just had to support my family.
Ну, как получилось? То на стройке, то где, то есть как бы...
So I had several jobs. I worked on the building site and I worked in finance as well.
Когда я женился, я начал работать на AirFresh. Ну, типа...
And when I got married, I got a full-time job for an air conditioning company.
Представляли Польшу, представляли Украину.
It was a Ukrainian company and Polish company, a joint venture.
И до этого времени, то есть я... занимался теми служениями, которые Бог мне доверил до 24 числа.
And I also had a ministry in the church until the 24th of February this year.
Но до 24 числа звонит Дональд и говорит, у вас там будет война, мы хотим вас благословить финансами, чтобы вы взяли все продуктовые наборы в случае войны, чтобы у вас была возможность что-то есть.
And then in February we got a phone call from Donald who said, we want to give you some money to buy groceries and just in case there's a war.
Мы закупили, положили свои места и неделю ждали.
So we bought the groceries and we kept them in storage and we waited.
Потом успокоились, войны не будет, все окей. В четверг я, как обычно, собираюсь на работу.
And then we were all calm because we never thought there would be a war. And on Thursday I was getting ready to go to my work.
И начинается... война.
And then the war started.
Мы с женой, жена будет мне говорит, а что будем делать? То есть что делать? И у меня сразу мысль, я ответственный за детей.
My wife woke me up and said, what are we going to do? The war has started. And my thought was, I'm responsible for my children. I need to keep them safe.
Нужно их дальше от войны вывести.
I need to take them away from the war.
И начинается наш путь четырехдневный до Польши.
And that's how our journey to Poland started. It lasted for 4 days.
Но до этого мы решили с женой, что едем на Западную Украину уйти от военных действий.
My wife and I decided we would go to the Western Ukraine just to out of the front line and we'll stay there.
Сутки мы ехали 1000 километров.
And it took us one full day to travel for 1,000 miles.
И это все время думаешь, что ехать, куда ехать. В какой город, кому ехать, что говорить, ты оставил дома, с чем ты едешь. То есть мы выехали с Салтова и до 40 километров мы ехали 6 часов.
And then we traveled 40 kilometers for 6 hours because of the traffic, heavy traffic, and all the time.
Были большие пробки.
I was thinking, where are we going? We left everything behind. We don't know where we're going, which country. We don't know the language, we don't know anything.
Мы выехали, доехали до Западной Украины.
We came to the Western Ukraine.
Осталось 15 километров.
And there were 15 kilometers left.
И мы решили, что позвонила сестра, решили, что поедем в Польшу, посмотрим, как живут люди в Польше на некоторое время, пока закончится война.
And then my sister, who lives in Poland, phoned us and said to come to Poland. And we decided to travel to Poland.
И эти 15 километров... мы ехали 3 дня.
So we traveled 15 kilometers, and it took us 3 days to travel those 15 kilometers.
2-5 метра проедешь, стоишь 20 минут.
We traveled for 2 meters, and then we stood for 20 minutes.
4 дня я не спал вообще.
So for 4 days I didn't get any sleep at all.
До этого никогда такого у меня не было, чтобы 4 дня вообще не спать.
I had never experienced that before in my life.
Но вот это состояние, что ты должен спасти, ты должен вывести, давало силы.
But that thought that I had to save my family and bring them to safety kept me awake when I traveled.
Приехали мы в Польшу. Сестра моя в детстве знала о Боге. Но когда такая маленькая история, когда наши дети рождались, первая Настя рождалась, умирает мама жены.
My sister who lives in Poland, she knew about God. We grew up together, but what happened was that when my Настя, это дочка ваша?
Да, старшая.
When my oldest daughter was born, her чья мама умерла?
Жены, мама умерла.
Вашей жены.
Да, сестра.
Yes, my mother-in-law died when my daughter was born.
Рождается Денис.
And then my son was born.
Я захожу к маме, говорю, у нас я молодежное служение проводил на втором этаже. А мама была на первом жила. Mm-hmm. Я говорю, мам, завтра соберемся, Я скажу, как назвали мы сына, и ушел на молодежное служение.
So I came to see my mother and I said, we've had a baby boy and we're going to have Thanksgiving service tomorrow and I'll see you tomorrow.
Телефон выключен был. Я спускаюсь.
And then I went downstairs.
Через два часа. И маму забрала скоро.
And then I get the news that my mother was taken unwell and she was in an ambulance.
Ее тоже не было.
And then she passed away.
Я когда ехал, говорил, мам, я назвал его сына в честь, как меня хотели, Денис.
And I told my mom, I named my son the way you wanted to name me, Dennis.
Меня хотели назвать Денисом.
My father wanted to call the boy Dennis.
И тогда я понял, что я долго, я 3 года отходил. Я 3 года отходил. Я маму очень сильно любил.
I loved my mom very much, and it took me 3 years to recover.
И тогда мне никого с родственников уже не было.
And then I didn't have any relatives left.
И Бог тогда показывал, что ты любишь не тех.
And then God was telling me, you don't love the right people.
Первый, кто должен быть у тебя, это я.
You should love me first.
А потом остальные все люди.
And then you should love the others.
Это долгий процесс был, 3 года я не понимал.
For 3 years I couldn't understand why this happened.
И Бог потом подарил 3-го сына Давида, Викторию,
God
Руслана.
Gave me 3 more children, 2 sons and a daughter.
Я понял, что жить нужно на этой земле еще ради них, чтобы они были с Богом.
And I thought I need to live on this earth so that my children trust the Lord as well, and I need to live for them.
И когда я приехал уже к сестре, я знал, что мои дети уже в спокойном состоянии, их никто не тронет. Я успокоился.
And when I came to my sister, I was really calm then, and I knew my children were in safety.
Но я понимал, что моя миссия на земле не заканчивается, что Бог хочет, чтобы что-то я сделал еще больше на этой земле.
But I also knew that God wanted me to do something else on this earth.
Когда мама умерла, сестра в церкви ушла.
When our mother died, my sister left the church.
Ей было сложно, я понимал ее, но...
She was grieving.
И когда я приехал, уже она уже взрослая, она замуж вышла, уехала в Польшу, то есть она в церковь не ходила.
She left Ukraine, she got married, she moved to Poland, and she stopped going to church.
Я приехал, говорю, пойдем, а там не церковь наша, пойдем в церковь сходим. Она с радостью говорит, пойдем в церковь.
And I told her, let's go to church one day when we were in Poland, and she agreed to come.
И мы вместе, она, ее муж, ребенок у нее уже есть, мы вместе пошли на собрание, я видел, что Бог работает в ее сердце.
And all of us went to church then, she and her husband and their child, and I could see that the Lord was working in her heart.
В это время мы ожидали визы, что нам должны дать визы.
And we were waiting for our visas to come.
Уже проходит 30 дней.
So 30 days passed.
40 дней.
40 days.
Некоторые получили визу, я не получаю.
Some people got their visas, and I still didn't.
Потом в одно воскресное служение мы пришли тоже в церковь уже с сестрой. Я получаю визы, жена получает визы, дети не получают.
And then one Sunday we were in church and we got a message that I got my visa and my wife got hers, but our children didn't get theirs.
Я понимаю, что Бог хочет, чтобы что-то я еще здесь сделал.
And I understood that the Lord wanted to keep me there so that I could do something.
И Саша, это муж моей сестры.
So Sasha, my brother-in-law.
К нему приехали его родственники, тоже с Украины.
He had his family from Ukraine staying there as well.
А родная сестра с ребенком.
His sister and their child.
Я говорю, они тоже неверующие. Я говорю, пойдем с нами на собрание.
They're not believers, so I invited them to our meeting.
Она говорит, да, я пойду, пойдем.
And she agreed to come.
Я говорю, слава Богу, то, что она пошла. Через неделю приезжает нему же, мы жили в трехкомнатной квартире, к нему приезжают еще четверо его родственников.
And then next week, the following week, four more relatives came from Ukraine.
И я вечерами с ними, со всеми, до часу, до двух ночи, мы с ними общались о Боге, о многих духовных вещах. Они интересовались.
And then every night, until early hours of the morning, until one in the morning, we had chats with them about God.
Я тогда понял, что Бог хочет, чтобы и они услышали Слово Божие.
So I realized that God wanted me there so that I could share my faith with those people.
Я поговорил с пастором, попросил у него 6 Библий украинских и 3 Библии польских.
I asked the pastor there to give me some Bibles, and he gave me some Bibles in Polish and some Bibles in the Ukrainian language.
Мы их подписали от кого кому и подарили, и они очень рады были, то что они...
We signed them and gave them as gifts to those people.
Жена потом видела, что некоторые люди в комнатах своих читали эти Библии.
And then my wife told me she saw those people reading those Bibles in their bedrooms.
Я понимаю, что я говорю, слава тебе, Бог, за то, что я имею возможность, ты имеешь возможность через меня еще действовать на многих людей, которые не знают тебя, может быть, и не узнают больше ни от кого, но мы им подарили то слово, которое спасет их.
And I'm so thankful to God that He placed me there at that time, and through me He was able to reach those people.
Мы были в очень-очень тесном общении, нас на трехкомнатную квартиру было 16 человек.
There were 3 rooms in that flat, and there were 16 of us there.
Мы вокруг стола собирались иногда, то есть я делал всем чай и общались на духовные темы.
We used to gather all of us around the kitchen table, and I made everybody a cup of tea, and we had our chats.
Когда я Библию подарил всем, Бог дал мне визы на всех детей.
And after I gave Bibles to all those people, our children were granted visas to come here.
И мы прилетели к вам.
And we came here.
Знаете, впечатление, когда мы приехал в свою церковь.
And I just had this feeling that I came to my own church.
Так принимают только те, которые родственники.
The way we were welcomed and received, it was like joining a family.
Я чуть не заплакал, когда заехал.
And I cried when I came.
Слава Богу, то, что Бог ваши сердца располагает, помогает нам скрываться от тех бедствий, которые у нас сейчас происходят в Украине.
Thank you so much for your kind hearts and for welcoming us and giving us refuge.
Маленькая история, вернусь назад. Мы недавно только закончили строительство нового молитвенного дома.
Церкви. And if I can go back, we just finished recently the building of our church, constructing our church.
У нас на 100 человек мест.
We have a church that can for 100 people.
На данный момент я недавно связывался по видеосвязи с дядей, который остался в старом Салтове.
And I phoned my uncle who stayed behind.
Это второй пастор нашей церкви.
He is the second pastor in our church.
Он говорит, служение продолжается, мы молимся, люди многие интересуются теперь Богом, те, которые не интересовались.
And he says our ministry is continuing, and a lot of people who never showed any interest in church, they started coming to church.
Но у меня будет просьба к вам очень огромная.
I will have a big favor to ask you.
Молиться о них.
Please pray for them.
К ним гуманитарную помощь запрещают. Мы под оккупацией, российские войска не пропускают гуманитарную помощь. Если кто-то едет на машине за гуманитарной помощью, либо расстреливают, либо забирают всю гуманитарку, принципиально не пускают наших волонтеров.
Volunteers are not let into our village and with humanitarian aid. So if somebody travels by car, the humanitarian aid is seized and people can be shot.
То есть у них уже, можно сказать, те продукты, которые есть, люди начали продавать в 20-30 раз дороже, потому что как-то выживать надо.
So people who have groceries stacked up, they started selling them 20 times, 30 times more than the price before the war, just to survive, just to get some money.
Но дядя на видео радостный был, говорит, слава Богу, мы собрание проводим, мы живы, и это хорошо.
But my uncle was happy when I saw him, video called him. He said, we're alive, we're happy that the ministry is continuing, so everything is fine.
Большое вам спасибо за ваше такое вот сердечное, даже очень сердечный прием нас к себе.
Thank you again so much for welcoming us into your family.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank Sasha for giving his testimony. And we trust the Lord will bless him and his family and those that are still back in Ukraine, that he will keep them and protect them. I want to just go through the announcements very quickly.
We want to bid you welcome in the Saviour's name to God's house tonight. If you're visiting with us, a very warm word of welcome. And those that are joining us on the internet, of course, being part of Hebron tonight, we're glad to have you. The Randallstown Youth Rally is this evening at 9. I'll be preaching, God willing. Rebecca McCauley will be singing. And we will run the church minibus if there's enough young people. Some young people are travelling by themselves in their cars. So during the singing of the closing hymn, if you can go immediately out so that we know what transport is needed for you. Thursday is a deputation meeting. We announced this morning, and it was my mistake that it was for the Trinitarian Bible Society, but it's actually Let the Bible Speak, and there'll be special prayer for missionary work and revival. Friday is the Sabbath School Social at 7:30, when all the children from our Sunday school will take part. Each class will be doing something, and the children from Ukraine will also sing a piece. We look forward to that. Refreshments will be served. Saturday is a day of prayer for Christian education, and that's in Portadown. Next Lord's Day, the prayer meeting begins at 8 o'clock. Sabbath school, 10:30. The Bible class, 10:30. Worship service, 12 noon. Outreach in the afternoon for the Sunday school at 3:30. Additional help would be appreciated. So the outreach team, others that are interested in youth work, children's work, if you can join us next Sunday afternoon and help out with this outreach, we'd appreciate that. The family night is at 7, and we're having a special testimony from our sister Kira Arnold. We look forward to that. 2 years ago, when Matthew was taken, very, very sadly, from this scene of time, taken to glory, and it's left a wife and a little child behind. Pray for Kira as she comes and gives her testimony. The time of prayer is 6:30. Supper will be served, and we look to the ladies to bring what you've been asked to bring. Thank you for your tithes and offerings for the Lord's work. We're going to sing the hymn 351. We'll sing a couple of verses of it, maybe 3, 1, 3, and 5. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul.
Oh,
be seated. Let's turn in the Word of God to Matthew 25. And we're going to read the opening 13 verses. Matthew 25 and verse 1 to 13. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and for you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily, verily, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch, therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. With our Bibles open and before us, let's seek the Lord in prayer. Almighty God and gracious Father, we give thanks for tonight's meeting, for the singing of these victorious hymns, and for the testimony that we've heard from Sasha, and for your precious word that we've just read. Speak to us, Lord, as we come to it now. We pray earnestly for the ministry of the Spirit, He who has been sent into the world to be the great teacher, the comforter that Jesus said would come, that would reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And Lord, we pray for that ministry now. We pray that thou wilt speak. We ask in the precious and the worthy name of our dear Savior. Amen. If I was to give you a verse tonight that would really launch what I want to talk about, it would be the second verse, where it tells us that 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And I want to put a title on this message, the 50% who thought they were ready, but were not. And I think that that is taught here in this passage of Scripture. I've looked many, many times at this sermon of Christ. I have studied its context, its content, I've examined its instruction, and I have pondered over the warnings that our Savior gives in this sermon. What a powerful, challenging, and most solemn sermon is preached and preached from the lips of God's dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Having warned about the deceptiveness of the last days, and that's really how the sermon begins. You go back to chapter 24 and read from verse 4 onwards. And having highlighted the marks and the signs of the end times, and having stressed the powerfulness of his coming, that it's going to be with great power and glory, as we're told in verse 30, having also urged upon his hearers the unconcern and the apathy of the world's population when Jesus comes again. You know that they were just going on with life, eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. And having called for watchfulness and readiness in verse 42 and 44, Jesus then goes on to relate 3 parables, all teaching and all re-emphasizing the same solemn truth that is mentioned in verse 40 and 41 of chapter 24. Then shall 2 be in a field, the one shall be taken, the other left. 2 women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. And these parables are teaching the solemn truth of separation. The parable of the 10 virgins that we've read tonight, five wise, five foolish, separated forever. The parable of the talents, where we have the faithful separated from the unfaithful. And the parable of the sheep and the goats, who are also separated forevermore. When Jesus comes again, it will be a time of terrible and awful and eternal separation. The wise from the foolish, the faithful from the slothful, the sheep from the goats. There will never be a more solemn time of separation than the separation that severs the souls of men forevermore. Separation in families, separation in communities, and separation in churches. And it is the separation that takes place in churches, under the gospel, in religious circles, that I'm drawing your attention to tonight. Jesus is telling how in the kingdom of God, how it's going to be in the kingdom of God here. This is what the parable is about. The kingdom of God is the visible church. The kingdom of God is as we see it under gospel preaching. The kingdom of God is comprised of all those that go and sit beneath the sound of the word of God, the outward professing Christian church. Perhaps not every detail in the parables can be followed through with meticulous application, but there are astounding applications, and there are searching challenges that ought not to be overlooked. Every detail has a particular meaning, has an application. The Savior's words were always carefully chosen. He never used the word that was out of place. He never used the word that was without meaning. And there is a meaning or an interpretation for every expression in this parable. The kingdom of heaven, the virgins, the lamps, the bridegroom, the foolish and the wise, the oil, the slumbering and the sleeping, the coming of the bridegroom, the entering into the marriage, the closing of the door, the crying of the foolish, all have very, very powerful applications and teachings. And I want to mark this second verse where Jesus tells us five of them were wise and five were foolish. Jesus gives a number here, the number 10. And this number 10 is divided into two fives. Can the words of the Lord be taken to represent a percentage of people within the Christian church? I believe they can. And I want to look at it that way tonight. Look at the opening verse. I want you to see the profession that they make. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Jesus is not coming to those who are outwardly wicked, or Jesus is not speaking here about those that are outwardly wicked. They are not referred to in this parable. They're not described in such a way in this verse. Saddam Hussein is not here. Bin Laden is not here. Hitler is not here. Mussolini is not here. The Al-Qaeda organization is not here. The IRA is not here. The murderers of the centuries, not here. Worldly men, Christ rejectors, the Putins of this world. They are not represented in what the Lord is saying in this opening verse. No, these people are professors of religion. They call themselves Christians. They own Christ with their lips. They say that they are saved. They have got the language of Canaan, and they make a fair show of Christianity. They have appearances. I want you to see that. They belong to the church. They attend the meetings. They are taken for Christians. They even attend prayer meetings, some of them. They sit at the Lord's table. They're baptized. They are involved in the work of God. They are missionary-minded. They give liberally to God's work. They possess many outward works. Remember, Jesus in Matthew chapter 7 spoke about those that preached in his name,
cast out devils in his name, did many wonderful works in his name, but they were not truly converted. The parable of the sower reminds us that there were those who had an outward manifestation of Christianity. The seed fell into the stony ground, for example. And that represented those who, Jesus tells us, hear the word. And with joy, they receive the word. This is the kind of person that has Christianity just on the surface. It doesn't go any deeper than that. It doesn't go into the heart. It's just in the head. It's all exterior. It's not easy to distinguish very often between the genuine article and those who have a mere profession of Christianity. In most cases, you and I do not know, but God knows. And God searches the heart. And God peers down right into the inner recesses of a man's being. And so we ought to stop here. And we ought to consider tonight what the Lord is saying. Do not take another step without making sure that you are rightly related to Christ. You say that you're saved. You come to the meetings. You go through the motions. You've even spoken to others about gospel things. My dear friends, never forget about the Balaams and the Judases of this world. Balaam of the Old Testament that we read about in Numbers 22 and onwards into the next chapter or two, and Judas of the New Testament are two prime examples of those that had a mere outward profession, but they never had the heart of the matter. They were never truly converted. I want you to notice, secondly, the profession that they lack. Look at verse 3. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. This is a most expressive detail that should not be overlooked. What is the difference between real salvation and professed Christianity? It's the possession of the oil. I want you to see that. Oil in Scripture is a type or a symbol of the Holy Spirit. It represents that symbol of inward grace, a genuine work of God, true conversion, that definite work of the Holy Ghost, the fact that the individual has the oil and they are born again of the Spirit. God's Spirit is likened unto oil in the Scripture. The psalmist says, "Thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." And that's quoted by the Apostle Paul in Hebrews 1 and verse 9. We understand this anointing to refer to the gifts and the graces of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, standing in the synagogue at the beginning of his ministry, remember, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel." When the Good Samaritan stopped to help the man who had fallen among thieves, you remember what he poured into the wounds? The oil and the wine. The oil, a type of the Holy Spirit. And the wine, a symbol of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only thing that speaks of genuineness, a work of true grace. And so the great question tonight is, have you got the Holy Spirit within? Are you born again? Does the Spirit dwell within your life? Have you got the marks of grace? The Bible makes it plain that if we have not the possession of the Holy Spirit within, then we do not belong to the Lord. We are not saved. God says, "I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes." When Jesus spoke to his disciples, he said, "The Spirit of truth dwelleth within you and shall be in you." And the Apostle Paul said, "If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Have you got the Holy Ghost tonight, my dear friend? What are the marks of the Holy Ghost? Well, we're trying to do a study on a Thursday night, and it's been interrupted just a little bit. because of so many things that have been happening in the church that we have deviated and gone to consider other things, but we're considering the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. I wish I had time to deal with those just in brief, each one of them. But you ought to have these marks of the Holy Ghost. Self-examination is required here. How many profess to be saved, but these graces are absent in their lives? You look at their lives, you study their behavior, you listen to their conversations, you observe their actions and their reactions, and these marks of the Holy Spirit are simply not there. They are self-deceived and they are self-deluded. How many souls have fooled themselves into a state of delusion? They think all is well, but it's not. 50%. I'm not saying that it's 50% in this church. We're talking about all the professing church right throughout the land. I would be pretty certain that in this church, the percentage of Christians, true Christians, is much higher than that. But if we are to take the whole Christian church throughout the world, according to the language used by our Savior, 50%, 5 of them foolish. There are professing Christians, and there's a serious question mark over their reality. I could take you to such tonight, and I'm sure you could as well. The spiritual marks are just not there. They're absent. With frightful certainty, I could tell you tonight about people I've met. They say they're Christians, and there's no real evidence there. I could tell you about those who profess the Lord loudly, churchgoers, active, involved in the work. They make a big show of Christianity. Yes, even those that preach the word, those that hold office in the church, and simply the work of grace has never been done. What a solemn day of judgment it will be for those who have a false profession. Some people think that there's nothing more to Christianity than just making a profession of faith, saying a wee prayer, and as long as you do that, everything is well. A few religious acts, perhaps, a few spiritual exercises, and everything's all right. 50% did not have the oil. You want to mark that tonight. And so we ought to say, oh God, put us under the microscope of divine truth. Examine our hearts and know the genuineness of what is in here. Don't let me fool myself any longer. Bring me face to face with the holiness of God. The possession that they lacked, there was no oil. And then, just to bring this little message to a conclusion tonight, the pronouncement that they hear. Look at verse 10 through to verse 12. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. My dear friends, a profession is not enough. If the root of the matter is not in you, on this great day that our Savior refers to, you will be disowned and you will be cast out forevermore. What an awful day that will be. Can you imagine, even in some small way, what's happening here? And these 5 foolish virgins, representing many in the professing church, coming to the door of heaven on that day and knocking and pleading for entrance. And yet the answer is, in the words of our Savior, I know you not. You've never been mine. You've never been redeemed. You've never been saved. You've never been born again. The Spirit of God has never dwelt in you. My friends, do not rest until you know that you are born again of the Spirit of God. Do not rest until you know that the Holy Spirit dwells within you, that you are washed, that you are cleansed, that you are clothed in the righteousness of Christ, that you are renewed by the Spirit of God, that you are in Christ, and you're ready for the great day that our Savior is preaching about in this sermon. Oh, I trust tonight that God will speak to every heart and help us, one and all, to make our calling and our election sure for Christ's sake. Let's have a wee word of prayer. Almighty God, we know that our Savior is dealing with very solemn subjects here, especially when he comes to these three parables, teaching separation, solemn and eternal separation on the great day. And Lord, you've brought us face to face, not with man's words, but with Christ's words. May they search us out. May we be taught of God tonight. O Lord, we pray that we'll not be found among the foolish, but among the wise who have made the preparation, who have the Holy Spirit dwelling within, who know that they are the Lord's, who can truly say, I am my beloved's and he is mine, and his banner over me is love. We pray that you'll continue to speak now while the voice of the preacher is silent. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We're going to sing the closing hymn, and young people that are traveling to Randallstown, if you can leave during the singing of this hymn, we'll meet you out there in the porch and we'll see what transport is needed. When Jesus comes to reward his servants, whether it be noon or night, faithful to him will he find us watching with our lamps all trimmed and bright. And our clerk of session will come and lead the hymn and pronounce the benediction. Thank you.
Father in heaven, we thank thee for the portion of scripture that thou hast brought before us, even this very evening. And Lord, we do ask of thee that thou wilt move upon the hearts and souls of those that know not Christ. We read in thy word, be ye ready. Lord, we pray that this might be the very day when those who are outside of Christ will be engrafted into the true vine, when they'll put their faith and trust in the only Redeemer of God's elect. Move by the power of thy Spirit, we pray, and grant that thou wilt this day write new names in the Lamb's Book of Life. Part us now in thy fear and with thy great blessing. For thy name's sake we pray. Amen.